Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard reveals new evidence of treasonous conspiracy.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We're back on this Monday. Will Haynes is joining me, Mike Pompeo, a little bit later. And look, it's the ACLJ's 35 years of justice drive. And when you talk about 35 years, let's just go back the last few years. In the last few years, who was on this show multiple times a week? Who made a huge impact in our show, made a huge impact in the world of Seculo? That's right, our friend, now Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. Of course, we could not have people like Tulsi on this team without your support during those times. Now, she's gone on. She graduated and moved her way up to, I don't know, Director of National Intelligence. And now, if you don't think that this doesn't scream of work that we have been, you know, done in the past, man, she is just doing a great job. And, well, let's break down this new evidence. She unveiled this document. Pretty exhaustive. I was listening to John Solomon's Just the News article, was reading, and again, at some point, you're like, Just the News, man, it's so long, but it's so informative. There's so much good information here, but a lot of people didn't see this over the weekend. They probably were distracted. They're watching something else. It was other news. Maybe they were watching the UFC fight. They didn't see that this was happening.
That's right, because on Friday afternoon, kind of late, the Director of National Intelligence put out a release, a memo, and a bunch of documents that they've declassified, as well as she went on Fox News' Sean Hannity talk about this. But here's the headline of the press release: new evidence of Obama administration conspiracy to subvert President Trump's 2016 victory in presidency. And it goes on to talk about, and this is on the heels of us talking about the FBI looking into a grand conspiracy scheme that they are looking into with Brennan and Comey and others. And we're finding out now that the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, has referred this new evidence to the DOJ. And I want to read this quote from Tulsi Gabbard. We have sound from her later, but this is in the press release they put out.
Okay.
It says, the issue I'm raising is not a partisan issue. It is one that concerns every American. The information we are releasing today clearly shows there was a treasonous conspiracy.
That's a big word.
In 2016, committed by officials at the highest levels of our government. Their goal was to subvert the will of the American people and enact was essentially a years-long coup with the objective of trying to usurp the president from fulfilling the mandate bestowed upon him by the American people. We're going to get into who those people at the highest level are, this means.
There'll be some familiar names on that list.
That's right. We'll get into all that in the next segment. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. No. This is big news.
Yeah, and I also want to encourage you to call in now. Usually we take calls at the end of the show, but because of the way the schedule lines up today, we're going to be able to take calls throughout the show. And Mike Pompeo is going to wrap up the broadcast. So usually we save a lot of those calls till the end, but not today. Today I want to hear from you. When these kind of reports drop, what do you think? 1-800-684-3110. We got five lines open right now. We just opened them up. 1-800-684-3110. We are in, I can't even believe it, the final 10 days of our 35 years of justice drive. What happened to the summer, everyone? I know that's me being a parent complaining, but I don't want my kids going back to school in a couple weeks. Let's enjoy it while we can. Let's enjoy the last few weeks and enjoy, again, the 35 years of justice drive, where all gifts are doubled. You've stood with us as we've spent 35 years on the front lines in these vicious attacks. But we're just getting started. Whether that's Supreme Court, whether that's persecuted Christians, whether that is the deep state, it's an incredibly busy time for the ACLJ. No summer break for us. Busy week in court. A lot of shows, they take their summer off. They play a lot of reruns, not us here. You can be a part of this. We launched this 35 years of justice drive to help raise the resources needed for the battles ahead. And there's some big ones coming. So this month, we celebrate 35 years of justice. And we look forward to another 35 years. With your support, all donations are doubled, tax deductible. Go to aclj.org/35 or just scan the QR code that's on your screen. I want to take more calls when we get back. 1-800-684-3110. Mm-hmm.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
All right, a lot of you are just joining me right now. I encourage you, hit that thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. That really helps us out a lot, gets it to people's algorithms. And if you're brand new here, hit that subscribe button. No, we appreciate it. Do those two things for me as we reset what we're talking about here. I know a lot of you are just joining us. We're talking about our friend, Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, former ACLJ or former Seculo broadcast colleague, someone who had been on the show for many years during the pretty much the majority of the Biden administration. And she was on here giving her expertise, her advice, and of course now has been selected and has been doing a great job as Director of National Intelligence. I want you to hear directly from Tulsi. This is from Sean Hannity, I believe. She did an exclusive with Hannity on Friday night. A pretty intense conversation, again, with another great friend of ours, Sean Hannity. Let's take a listen.
The implications of this are frankly nothing short of historic. Over 100 documents that we released on Friday really detail and provide evidence of how this treasonous conspiracy was directed by President Obama just weeks before he was due to leave office, after President Trump had already gotten elected. This is not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is an issue that is so serious it should concern every single American, because it has to do with the integrity of our democratic republic. What we saw occur here, as the documents we released detailed, was that we had a sitting president of the United States and his cabinet and leadership team, quite frankly, who were not happy with the fact that President Trump had won the election, that the American people had chosen Donald J. Trump to be the next president, commander-in-chief of the United States. And so they decided that they would do everything possible to try to undermine his ability to do what voters tasked President Trump to do.
Of course, I want to clarify that was not on the Sean Hannity broadcast. You may have seen it was on Fox News the next day. So just wanted to make sure that's the case. But we'll kind of laying out this pretty big claim. Like, you can't just make this claim. If so, we've had some issues with the FBI and with some of the other departments where they've thrown around things over the last few weeks. A lot of times where they said, you know, there's no smoke, nothing's happening here. Tulsi comes out and says, look, we got evidence, over 100 documents released. The detail provide evidence of how this treasonous conspiracy was directed by President Obama, not even by President Obama's team, not even the Obama administration. Again, these are her words. The Director of National Intelligence words, not ours.
That's right. And once again, like, all of us that lived through that knew that there was something nefarious that happened, the weaponization of government. But now you're hearing from the current Director of National Intelligence using words like treasonous conspiracy. That's a very strong phraseology. Something, I mean, we stay away from even like normally implicating treason because of what a high bar that is when we talk about the weaponization of government.
Yeah.
There could be other crimes committed, but like treason is one that you almost stay away from because of how rarely it's invoked. I believe I looked up, it's only been charged against someone less than 40 times in our history. They have obviously secured convictions in some of those, a lot fewer than 40. But you think of even back to Benedict Arnold, which is the original kind of treason against America, which happened during the Revolutionary War. But what we're seeing here and the way she's laid this out is that she's talking about not just the politicization of intelligence. She's calling it the manufacturing of intelligence. And she says there's more coming this week. This was just the first tranche that they're releasing declassified. Obviously, there's a declassification process. But she really, in this first memo and this first tranche of emails and documents that have been released, we're seeing that the intelligence community, the entire election cycle, was in lockstep. That one, Russia didn't have the ability to actually hack our system and change votes and manipulate vote tallies and change an election that way. As well as the consensus was, while their online activity was meant to sow kind of confusion in the United States, make the United States look weaker, they didn't have a favored candidate. Where that all changed was after President Trump was elected. And we remember things like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page talking about the insurance policy.
Talking about it again.
What happened? The President of the United States called a principals committee meeting on December 9th of 2016.
That's in these documents.
In these documents.
Yeah,
I'm looking
clear.
At a document right now that is a summary of the conclusions for the principals committee meeting on the sensitive topic. They didn't even name it in their headline.
And then there were some like uh-oh emails that came out.
Right, we'll get to that as well.
Some of my favorite ones, which ones are being that have come out recently that are like, if they're going to go down this path,
here are the people, though, that were in this principals meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Rice.
Heard of her.
Interestingly, there was no representative present from the office of the vice president. That would have been Joe Biden's office for this meeting.
So maybe there was a little bit of intelligence
there.
Let's keep him out.
We had John Kerry,
okay.
Victoria Nuland. We had someone from the Department of Defense, Brian McKeon. We had the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch. We had the Department of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson. Chief of Staff, Dennis McDonough. DNI, James Clapper. FBI, Andrew McCabe, CIA, John Brennan, as well as Avril Haines, who was the Director of National Intelligence under President Joe Biden.
The traveling Wilburys.
Lisa Monaco and Ben Rhodes. All of these people were in this meeting. And what Tulsi Gabbard is telling us is that that is where it changed, where they said, no, we now need it to be that Russia chose Donald Trump to win and affected the election. There was this collusion narrative. And what did they use? Something that hadn't been used in all the intelligence products thus far because it wasn't credible. The Steele dossier.
Yep.
And that's directed by the President of the United States to effectively get to this outcome so we can undermine Trump.
I actually want to hear more from Tulsi Gabbard. We'll go to Bite 11 because I think this is important to hear as much from her as possible. Because you're hearing our commentary, that's great. But this is coming from, again, not just our former colleague. It is coming from the current sitting Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard.
This document was then used as the foundation for everything that came next. It was essentially a years-long coup that was launched against President Trump before he even had the opportunity to take his oath of office and be sworn in as President of the United States. So, as you know, there was a Mueller investigation that went on for years, cost taxpayers nearly $40 million. There were two congressional impeachments. President Trump and almost every member of his family were smeared and attacked, faced lawsuits, depositions. High-level officials were investigated, some were arrested and put in jail. The list goes on and on about the ramifications of this, but foundational to it all was the fact that we had in President Obama and his leadership team people who did not want to accept the will of the American people in electing Donald Trump in 2016 and therefore cooked up this treasonous conspiracy to, again, try to effectively, and they did effectively, launch a years-long coup against the sitting president of the United States.
And let's give a bit more background, by the way. If you're just joining us or you're brand new to not only this show, Tulsi Gabbard was no conservative, was no Republican, if you will. She ran to be the Democratic nominee. Was that in 2020? Against President Trump.
Right.
But you know what? They went after her, and your eyes get open to what really this machine looks like, and all of a sudden, things started changing. And it was a good move by President Trump to bring in people who may even been formerly his opposition. Tulsi Gabbard. At the time, I know people are fighting with him now, but the Elon Musk, the RFK Juniors. These are people, I mean, you're talking about RFK and Tulsi, both people who actively ran against President Trump. We went as press to an RFK event where they had the good, the bad, and the ugly, and one of those, you can imagine which one, was they were labeling President Trump. Okay? But he thinks above that. They go beyond that. They find people who are great for their jobs. And here it is, because these people can think beyond politics. I want to take a phone call. Let's go to Moose, who's calling in New York. Talk to me, Moose.
Who?
Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Nah, it's insane that everything's coming out, finally. And everything that we've been saying for years and years about undermining President Trump is coming to light. Every projection that they had is a confession of theirs. And it's good Moose. That Tulsi Gabbard's bringing to daylight.
Yes, thank you, Moose, for calling. Look, I think there's even things that I personally would have laughed off even as conspiracy theories just a few years ago, that now when these sort of documents come out, you go, oh, they were probably right.
Well, in reality, that's why even the term treasonous conspiracy is shocking to hear coming from the Director of National Intelligence. Now, there's a high bar to convict someone of treason,
yeah.
But that's in the Constitution, there's no statute of limitations. So when they've talked about this grand conspiracy, treasonous conspiracy is the term that Tulsi is choosing. I think there's a lot in that when it comes to that's outside the statute of limitations. If they can prove that this was treasonous to undermine the government of the United States and the next president of the United States, I think that there's something to be looked at there. But that's a high bar. And now that this is out there, the DOJ, if they bring a case, have got to prove that in court. And we can talk about some of the implications as well as her pointing a finger at President Obama, and what that could mean.
There's a lot more details in this all tranche of documents that came out. Some that the panic that was running through these emails, you're not going to want to miss that. We'll discuss that coming up. Again, Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us also at the end of the show. So we're going to be taking calls throughout. There's only one line open right now because it was the line we just took. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to get your voice heard on the air, it's a great time to do it. And of course, as I've said, 10 days left of our 35 years of justice drive. I'm going to encourage you right now, if you love the work of the ACLJ, if you love this show, this is the way all of it gets funded. Not by major sponsors, not even by exclusively major donors. It's by people like you who decide to give on an ongoing monthly basis or just a one-time gift. Do it now. Have your gifts doubled. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you. Life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are jammed right now. We'll get to you. You know, this half hour is flying by. And of course, we have a second half hour. If you don't get on your local terrestrial station, a lot of the terrestrial stations only carry a half hour. Find us broadcasting live each and every day at aclj.org, YouTube, Rumble. However you get your content, we're there. Of course, you can pick us up later on the podcast feed, archived. I know most of you watch us later on and not live. So we appreciate all of you, whether you're live or not. But when you're live, you get to call in. And actually, I want to go to this very interesting call because I think a lot of people will be feeling this. And it's probably because they've been burned in the past. Let's go to Ronald, who's calling in South Carolina on line four. Ronald, you're up.
Thanks for taking my call. Yes, with all the evidence that is literally coming to light right now, and even all this late in the game because of all that has gone on, the elections and such, yet there are still be liberals who will not even accept this as the truth and may even consider this as a smear campaign sure. by the party that's in place right now and by the conservatives and Republicans.
Ronald, they most certainly will use that as spin. Now, you're at a different time here, though. The checks and balances are a little bit more on in the conservative favor.
Right.
So, but Will, people do think about this, and I think you immediately jumped to Comey. You immediately jumped to all these things where the evidence was damning, but they still couldn't get it done.
Right. And in reality, this needs to get done for the country. There needs to be some sort of accountability.
There needs to be accountability.
Because we are supposed to have faith in our elections. And what undermined that faith, going back to 2016, is what we saw play out. And it's still fresh in my mind because we lived through it. Your dad was the private counsel to the president. And so we were living through this and seeing how bad it was in real time and understanding that when all this stems, when President Obama had this principals committee meeting and they changed the directive from politicizing intelligence to manufacturing intelligence, as Tulsi Gabbard calls it, something changed then. And they went forward and James Comey, whose deputy Andrew McCabe was in this meeting, sent spies into the White House because he felt like he could. He leaked information when he was fired, and rightly so. And when President Trump fired James Comey, what did it get him? An investigation by the deep state. How dare you fire James Comey?
How dare you?
We're getting a special counsel to now investigate you. So that's what tied up almost the majority of President Trump's first term. The Department of Justice was hamstrung from the beginning because they started to leak things here, try to get someone like the Attorney General recused. That went on. You had a special counsel investigation that went on. Then they hit him at the end of the term with what? An impeachment. That's what the deep state was willing to do to take down the first term. And we still had a lot of great victories that we talk about all the time that came through during that first term.
Yeah.
But now you're seeing what an administration that isn't afraid of what the deep state did those first 4 years. And they're not afraid to go look into those compartmentalized areas. Because you have to remember that too. These were top secret things that Tulsi is declassifying now. These are reports that never see the light of day. You may see some final work product, but what they're getting now, the deep state tried to keep hidden. And they had cover for a long time during that first administration because they were investigating the president. So the people inside there weren't going to ruffle feathers. You weren't going to see the whistleblowers. But Tulsi says they're coming out now because they're releasing the goods. But we do need some sort of accountability from the people on that list.
Yeah, let's see
if
happen.
They were perpetrating a treasonous conspiracy against the government.
The ball's in the court of the Trump administration now to actually make this happen. We will see. Again, I'm not not unlike our caller that came in from Rumble, where it does feel like sometimes these threats they don't feel empty because this comes with so much information. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard, got to give it to her. It drops hundreds of pages, I feel like, of content, documents upon documents upon documents. You couldn't ask for anything more. But now, will there be follow-up when she does the referral? We'll see, again, as Will said, how deep it can get. I want to take a call. I want to go to Sue, who's an ACLJ champion. If you're a champion, that is someone that gives, by the way, on a monthly basis, automatically recurring, essentially like a membership. That's what we call them, ACLJ champions, because they are the champions for all of our causes. They create the baseline for this entire organization, whether it's our legal side or our media side. And one of the little perks I give, again, it's not an official perk, it's just something that I like to do, which is if you're an ACLJ champion and you tell our phone screener, you get bumped to the front of the line. You get to be the first person the calls that goes through because you are dedicated the most. And with that, I like to thank you with that. So Sue, on line five, you're on the air.
Thank you. And I'm from Nebraska, and you don't get many calls from the heartland.
You know what, Sue? It's because I see NE, and it takes me a second.
Logan thinks it's New England, which is not a state.
I've done it before. I've said New England. So I'm going to be honest with you. Look, unlike a lot of politicians and things, I'm honest. So when I see NE, my brain doesn't automatically say Nebraska, so I'll just go line five. But Sue, in Nebraska, you appreciate it, but maybe there's more Nebraskans calling in than you think. I just am unfamiliar with the abbreviation. Go ahead, Sue.
Could be. One of the things that I am so impressed with is Tulsi remains so calm. There's she doesn't, I know there's emotion there, but she doesn't emote a lot. So
no, I mean, I've been with her many times, and I have to say what you're seeing is what you're getting. Yeah, I've seen her fired up, but it doesn't get that is the tone that you get from Tulsi Gabbard. She is serious. She's funny also as well, but is someone who is, like I said, unfazed. That happens to not hurt when you're a military expert. You've been in war, but go ahead, Sue.
One of the things that really bothers me is the amount of money that has been wasted in trying to prevent any of this from coming out. It's staggering. But one of the things that came to mind a couple of days ago, I happened to hear before President Obama left office, he was being the first, I guess he only was there once, but anyway, when he left office, he was being interviewed and they said, would you like to stay as president longer? And he said, well, of course, that he felt he had more he could do and that, some of the countries that have monarchies or other forms of government than what we have, may have it right where you can stay in office longer. And so it doesn't necessarily surprise me having heard that he would try to do some things because I think he has pulled cords and strings and all kinds of things for a long time.
Sue, for sure, he has been deeply involved. And look, I feel like a lot of presidents have said similar things, probably even President Trump as well, because you get in there, and look, it's not a lot of time. You have 4 years, and 2 years of that 4 years, you're running for re-election. I've actually been a pretty big proponent of saying one term, 6 years. One term, 6 years, get all the work you can get done, and don't have to worry about this re-election nonsense that takes up 2 of those years. You lose those 2 years. So I'm sure if you're president of the United States, whether you're President Obama, President Trump, whoever it is, George W. Bush, by the end of your second term, you're like, man, we're just now getting started. We're just now feeling it. But I do know what you mean. When you hear them saying they're jealous of monarchs and royalty, it's not the country you live in, sir. But I kind of understand the sentiment in a weird way. But that's just my thought. I really wish there would be serious discussion about changing the terms. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen, unfortunately. Things like that don't change. We have 30 minutes left in our broadcast. A whole nother half hour. But right now, I want you to do me a favor. We got 1 minute left. Put up that QR code. Go to ACLJ.org. All donations are doubled. We got 10 days left in our 35 years of justice drive. And then we got a big August coming as well. I look forward to sharing more about coming up. Again, second half hour. Join us on ACLJ.org, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook. Be right back.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Second half hour, Seculo coming up right now, and we are talking about our friend Tulsi Gabbard, also known as the Director of National Intelligence, who dropped really a bombshell of documents over the weekend, came out on Friday, really implicating people, including former President Barack Obama, in trying to, in what she calls, again, her words, not mine, treasonous behavior to stop a Trump presidency. Now, Will, for those who are just joining us, some of you just listened to the back half, let's give a bit of a brief breakdown of this. We do have one line open, and Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us at the end of the show. So if you're on hold right now, stay on hold. I will get to your calls in this segment and next segment.
That's right. On the Director of National Intelligence website, which normally people aren't going to odni.gov to check out what they're posting there, but she has posted both an unclassified memo, unclassified supporting documents, as well as a press release where she says that the information we're releasing today clearly shows there was a treasonous conspiracy in 2016 committed by officials at the highest level of our government. Their goal was to subvert the will of the American people and enact what was essentially a years-long coup with the objective of trying to usurp the president from fulfilling the mandate bestowed upon him by the American people. She has referred this information to the Department of Justice. She says that we need prosecution and investigations to the fullest extent of the law. And bringing up the term treason, that is something within the Constitution itself, which has no statute of limitations. It's going to get very interesting. As she says, there is more information to come, as well as whistleblowers that are now coming forward now that they've released this, including, Logan, something you referenced earlier that just the news pointed out, where there was a member of the National Intelligence Council.
You got it. Look, I would even encourage you when you're done here, go read their article, because right? It is alarming, but also fascinating.
So the National Intelligence Council is an organization under the Director of National Intelligence that bridges the gap between all the intelligence agencies and kind of can compile evidence and put together reports of intelligence outlooks. They were looking into the election claims. They were part of that team that was producing the reports leading up, and that changed after the election, after that principal's meeting with President Obama, where they had a new directive. And this is an email that was released by Tulsi Gabbard and that Justin News picked up on from someone who was on that National Intelligence Council that went ahead and was looking at this and got an email from another colleague that referenced the Steele dossier. And this was his response regarding the email below. I'm choosing my words carefully for your awareness because the premise of the message is concerning. As you know, I was a deputy on the NIO cyber team, also the de facto elections team, from 2015 through this year. I have intermittently participated in the IC foreign influence and election security efforts from 2014 through this evening. I was asked by NIO Cyber Redacted to participate in the analytical scrub of non-compartmented version of what the 2017 ICA referenced. Below, it included no dossier reference that I can recall. He goes on to say that I will cut to the chase, saving detail for in person if you think needed. You do have at least one National Intelligence Council person who has been here through the whole period and worked on the paper. Me. If dossier material was used by the National Intelligence Council, unless it also was compartmented, my NIO intentionally deceived and excluded me from things I was cleared for and had need to know. Yep. Throughout his entire tenure here, I prefer to think that isn't true, but if it was, we have a problem.
A lot of you are just joining us right now. We'll keep breaking this down again. We have a problem. We're going to keep breaking it down. We're also going to take a ton of calls coming up in the next segment, and then we're going to end this show with an interview or spend some time with Secretary Mike Pompeo. So again, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. We've got one line open, but thousands of you are joining us right now who haven't been joining us for the other. We can see it on the YouTube numbers. So I encourage you, if you're brand new, we're about to cross 510,000 subscribers on YouTube. Okay, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Millions of you watch each and every week and know how much we appreciate it. Get the comments in, hit the thumbs up, all that business. With 10 days left in our drive, I encourage you to make that donation today. We'll be right back with your calls and comments coming right up.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
It's time to hear from you, the supporters, the ACLJ members, the ACLJ champions, and those that decide to call in and to have their voice heard. When there's thousands of you watching online, I always appreciate the dozen or so that can make it on the air in any given day who call in and wait, because some of you have been on hold for 34, 15, 26 minutes. We know that takes a big chunk of your day. So let's start with a call. And then, Will, I think we need to build some expectations, as you said, because I think when I see the comments coming in saying nothing will happen, nothing will happen, nothing will happen, it's not necessarily untrue that some things now can't happen because of rulings we were actually in favor of. Let's go ahead and go to Jan, who's calling, listening on the radio. Jan, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question and a comment about that question. My question is, don't they have someone recording or there are tapes being made, videos being made, everything they say and do on the phone in their meetings is inscribed. It's kept in documents, correct?
I'm not so sure
not
about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in meetings, ahead. There's a lot of things, especially, and then a lot of that falls under executive privilege deliberative
private,
privilege.
Confidential.
Right.
Then how did they not know, in my estimation, it reveals their stupidity and arrogance, that they don't figure out someday this is going to be known?
Well, I mean, Jan, that's a whole another story. I think a lot of times they think, well, they're going to get themselves out of it, time-wise. Maybe they're not thinking straight that this is some sort of act of treason, if you will. Again, I think people get a little obloviated when they're in the White House themselves. They don't really understand the rules and ramifications. A lot of these people are not experienced politicians, so they start throwing out theories and ideas, and you got to be really careful with that, as well as in any business. Now, that being said, Will, I think this is where it does come down to that comment you made during our break, which was, hey, we got to be careful to build up expectations, because presidential immunity is a real thing now.
Right, and Jan, also to the point, what Director Ratcliffe from the CIA put out about a week and a half ago, it shows that the principal of the CIA, John Brennan, he specifically took over this and was doing things that normally a director would not do in order to kind of shield what they were doing, is what it appears was happening. And that was highly inappropriate, highly irregular, but all of that was trying to shield it. And remember, if their end goal was brought about, the crippling of the Trump presidency or impeachment, removal from office, then there would be no ramifications because they won. That was their goal. So I think that has to be looked at there. But one of the other things is that we are also seeing Tulsi Gabbard pointing the finger pretty directly at President Obama, saying he directed this and that this was a treasonous conspiracy. One thing that I've seen a lot on social media is that, will President Obama be tried for treason and look at all this? I think we also have to think in context of the presidential immunity ruling. It gave broad protections to the president of things done
retroactively
under the presidency that were official acts. If President Trump calling the leader of a state about the election was considered immune from prosecution because that's an official act. The president is calling a governor of a state or an elections team of a state. The president assembling a meeting of principals on intelligence and telling them to chase down a lead, I think that in retrospect, that is going to be seen as him doing the job of the president, even if the what he was doing was not permissible and not allowable. So I don't think that President Obama is someone you're going to see charged with treason here. But it is going to be interesting what happens, what the DOJ decides to do, what Pam Bondi decides to do with all this information with respect to that other list of people.
It's been a very interesting spot coming out of the Epstein situation, everything that happened with the FBI to, again, maybe if nothing happens, then you're going to have some people who are really upset, have a lot of issues with what's going on at the DOJ. But we'll see. We'll see where that lands. There are a lot of you calling in. I want to try to get to you before we get to Mike Pompeo. Let's first go to Becky in Texas watching on Facebook. Line 3, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My comment is that if I knew that there was a coup going on, my whole church knew, a membership of 22,000. We all knew about the coup that was going on, and yet I didn't hear any Republicans screaming out about it. I didn't hear about it. Nobody talked about the coup, and that's exactly what was going on.
See, I would take a little bit of a different take on that, Becky. I mean, one, if you've watched this broadcast, we from the conservative side were talking about it. We'd have members of Congress on talking about it. There were Republicans at the time.
A decade ago,
once you got past the midterms and after the Mueller investigation was wrapped up, the Democrats controlled Congress at that point. So there wasn't a ton that Congress could do. I've seen people in the chat saying, why didn't John Ratcliffe do anything when he was made the director of national intelligence at the tail end of the Trump presidency? He was in there May 26th of 2020. So an election year,
COVID.
In the thick of COVID. You know what the director of national intelligence was doing at that time? Mostly focused on what China was doing to the United States, which was unleashing a global pandemic.
Rightfully so.
Not that that wasn't something that was important to him, the whole Russia collusion hoax, because while he was on the member of the Judiciary Committee, he was one of the front leaders of trying to bring truth about. Same with Devin Nunes. Who was a deputy of Devin Nunes? Kash Patel. So kind of the dream team to get to the bottom of the Russia collusion hoax is now in the government. And you know what they're not dealing with? An election year. They're not dealing with a global pandemic. They are now having their own teams in there to really get to the bottom of this. And you see things like what Director Ratcliffe has put out in the last few weeks about this very thing related to his predecessor at CIA, John Brennan, a few directors back. I think that they are on top of this and going for it. And we know that the FBI is investigating James Comey. We know that the CIA has referred John Brennan to the Department of Justice. And we know the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, has the goods and is releasing them and is giving that to the DOJ to get some final accountability.
I'm cutting Will off because we have 4 minutes and 4 calls, and I want to see if we can get to most of them. Let's go to Joe in Nevada real quick.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to take issue with the use of her language, mandate. Trump didn't have a mandate. In fact, he lost that election by the popular vote, 500,000.
Secondly, I'm going to cut you off right there because that's not how elections are won and lost in this country. The popular vote does not win the election. The Constitution lays out how you win an election.
It is based on
the Electoral College. And so the popular vote, you can say win, loss. That's like saying we had the least amount of fouls in a basketball game,
and
therefore we won.
We're also talking 2016.
Right.
Yeah, okay, this isn't the 2020 as contested. Remember, Hillary conceded.
Well, he's trying to say that Hillary won because of it. Vote. It's a ridiculous.
Yeah, but Joe doesn't know what he's talking about. Thanks, Joe. Let's go to Kathy in Kentucky. Kathy, go ahead.
Thank you. How can Trump supporters best respond to this bombshell information of evidence of treason on the part of the Obama administration?
Share this show. I'm like cutting the ox and running out of time. Share this show. Share the Just the News articles. Make sure people actually see this in their algorithms. It's going to be suppressed. People need to find out about it. You need to support people like Tulsi Gabbard when they are under attack as well. Because, of course, that's happening right now for all of the cabinet. So make sure you, and you know what? As mature as this, say a prayer for these people. It's tough. It is not easy to be in Washington, D.C., especially under this kind of fire. Let's go ahead. Let's go to Brent, who's calling on Rumble. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hopefully there's no echo because
go ahead,
I'm
Brent,
listening to
running
you.
Running out of time.
Loud and clear.
We got you. Go.
You got it. Hey, so it's a quick two-part question. Let me...
You only got a minute. Brent, okay. I'm sorry. Go.
Okay. So with this information, does this clear that high hurdle or high bar to bring prosecution treasonous and conspiracy?
Yeah, Brent, that's what's going to be interesting to see if the DOJ brings in what charges if they go that way. The Constitution says treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. That their enemies, I think, could be a broad clause or phrase that they could try to go after, but that's a high bar. So I think that it'll be interesting. They're using treasonous conspiracy, I think, because that is coloring the term conspiracy to say what type, but I don't know what they would be going for.
It will not be easy, Brent, but you know what? If Tulsi thinks she can get it, then you know what? I put my trust. I really have always respected and loved working with her. So let's go to Michael real quick. Michael, we only have 1 minute left in this segment, so you got about 20 seconds. Go.
Gentlemen, I remember back in like 72 with Nixon, and I can remember seeing my parents and how ashamed and disappointed they were, you know, with what had come out with Watergate. And yet I kind of question, do people have the same kind of shame feeling with Obama?
Absolutely not, Michael. We live in a very different polarized time. And look, I think we can go back and have a big conversation about Richard Nixon as well and his legacy. But beyond that, I won't get into that in 25 seconds. I will say that no, I don't think we live in it's we are too politically divided. The media is too divided. There isn't shame on both sides. You know, you're not going to turn on MSNBC and Fox and see the same point of view. And I think with Nixon, with Watergate, there was a lot of the main networks kind of told you what to believe. The main newspapers told you what to believe, and that was it. When we get back, Secretary Mike Pompeo is joining us. Whew, a lot of calls, Bill.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secular. Let's jump right in. We have Secretary Mike Pompeo joining us, who's been a member of our broadcast team now for many years, and a member of the ACLJs, which has been great to have such amazing experts, especially when we're celebrating these 35 years of the ACLJ, 35 years of justice. Secretary Pompeo, thank you for joining us. Will, I'm going to let you set up this in this conversation, because we're going to also get back to the topic on hand. And again, phone lines are now busied out. You can't call in, because we know this is how this show wraps up today, is with Secretary Pompeo.
That's right. Mr. Secretary, we've been discussing kind of this information that Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard put out over the weekend about the Russia collusion hoax. But for years, there's been this media narrative that President Trump goes easy on Russia. And a lot of that is because of that Russia collusion hoax, that he was buddies with Putin and therefore was going to go easy on him. But you were a member of the first Trump administration, and you know that's not true. As a matter of fact, you wrote an article that's up at ACLJ.org right now called "America's Strong Stance on Russia Picks Up Where Trump 1.0 Left Off." Yeah. So I just wanted to get into that. What's the real posture of the Trump administration towards Russia from your experience and looking even to today?
That's a great question. Let's just do a logic test. If you're Vladimir Putin, would you rather have Joe Biden or Donald Trump as the president of the United States? The answer is really easy. You invaded Ukraine when President Biden was there. You invaded Ukraine when President Obama was there. You didn't touch the darn thing when President Trump was there. I think it actually proves itself. But if you want to get even deeper about the things we did in the first Trump administration, we provided defensive weapon systems to Ukraine. Obama refused. Biden didn't want to do it. We made energy prices low by building here, drilling here. That hurt Putin dramatically. We put an enormous number of sanctions on the Russian regime. We had real deterrence. And I am confident that Trump, the second version of Trump, the second term of President Trump, will do precisely the same. This narrative that somehow President Trump or Donald Trump was a Russian asset or connected to Putin or that Putin had some goods on him has always been false. It's always been known to be false, and yet was distributed by the mainstream media and by a White House that was determined to push back against the lost election.
And Mr. Secretary, as we look at that, and we also know that context that we even talked about, that the media has tried to frame this as this cozy relationship where President Trump would do no wrong when it comes to Vladimir Putin, would not push back against him. We're seeing this report over the weekend that that Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard released that showed how much the CIA director, John Brennan, who was a predecessor of yours at CIA, was front and center on this entire angle, and that they didn't just weaponize intelligence. She's claiming that there was even the manufacture of intelligence by using things like the Steele dossier to give the color needed for a Russia collusion hoax in that intelligence community assessment. Is this one of the biggest violations of trust with the American people and the IC community that is supposed to be giving and analyzing the straight data and able to give the President of the United States the decisions the information he needs to make the decisions to keep America safe?
So I haven't seen what came out across the weekend yet. I'll get to it. But in some sense, this is not new. The knowledge that both Director Brennan and Director Comey, who was then head of the FBI, manipulated this intelligence process, and that President Obama greenlighted the publication of this report, the so-called ICA, is something that I worked on, in fact, was involved in even when I was just the nominee to be the CIA director on January 6th of 2017. There was a meeting in New York, where Comey, Clapper, and Brennan all came and told Donald Trump essentially that he was a Russian asset. I wrote about this in my book. No, they manipulated the intelligence process. They cherry-picked data. They relied on a dossier that even they knew at the time, and Director Brennan knew at the time, was unsubstantiated and not sufficiently reliable to use as a data source. Indicates that this was pure politics at its worst, designed to push back on a political campaign that they in the end they lost. And then even after that, they tried to diminish President Trump's capacity to effectively govern and lead the United States. No doubt about that.
Yeah, and Secretary Pompeo, it's a little bit, I can see the comments coming in. Yeah, we're almost 10 years out from all of this. People are kind of, you know, maybe disenfranchised a bit because they've seen so many times it feels like there being this smoking gun, if you will, and nothing ever happens. Now, I think that that is an over-exaggeration. I think you mainly focus and remember the ones where nothing happens. But in context of this, and knowing we also have, you know, maybe peace negotiations that could be coming back for Russia and Ukraine, what could something like a, you know, the sort of expose of the Russia collusion hoax now have on that dynamic between President Trump and President Putin heading into what we can hope will be the end of the war?
Yeah, look, I always think the more transparency you get, I think it's better. It creates a better foundation for conversations between leaders. So the fact that Director Gabbard's trying to get more information out there than was already there, I think is welcome. I hope it's good. I hope it's accurate. I hope it's not political either. We got to get it right, not politics. It is 10 years on, and I think most of us who stared at this understood that this was truly a collusion hoax. I imagine that Putin will see this. He'll observe that President Trump is not any different than the President Trump he knew before. And I am hopeful that President Trump will be able to bring peace and restore the very deterrence that we had in the first 4 years.
Secretary Pompeo, thank you so much for joining us today. We always appreciate your insights. And look, that's what we do here. We provide you with the experts to discuss all of these top topics of the day. And look, you may disagree with them, and that's okay. That's part of the conversation, is to make sure we have a diverse group of voices. We had on Tulsi Gabbard as part of our team. We have on Rick Grenell. We have on Mike Pompeo. These are people who were involved or are involved in such deep ways in what the world of politics looks like right now. And sometimes you got to have people there you can trust, and hopefully we provide some of those voices. I've also asked you, we're always looking to add to our roster. As people like Tulsi Gabbard graduated out and had to go, but you know, become the Director of National Intelligence. You know, sometimes we'll lose a member of the broadcast team here and there. Who would you like to see? Again, they can't really be a member of the current administration, so know that. And if they're like currently a Fox News host, you know, that's not going to be it either. But maybe you've seen some independent media journalists. Maybe you've seen some other people involved in Washington, D.C. that you would like to see. Or maybe someone from the faith world that you would love to see be a contributor here to Seculo. I'd love to hear from you. Put it in the comments. With that being said, I always like to hear from you because your voice, as I said, is always the most important one. And the reason that is because the ACLJ is supported exclusively by you. The ads you hear on your local radio stations, that doesn't go to us. The YouTube ads is so minute in terms of the grand scale of the ACLJ that it's a nice bonus to have, but it certainly is not paying for even many people's salaries at this point. To have this team, to have the best and the best in media and the best and the best in the legal world, all around the world. Again, the ACLJ, we have the ECLJ, the European Center, again, funded by the ACLJ primarily. You have ACLJ Jerusalem, funded primarily, exclusively actually, by the ACLJ. So when you think about where to put your money, know that it's going to a place that is going to respect your beliefs and feelings, and we always listen to you as well. So with that, I'm going to ask you to support the work. If you're looking online right now, if you're watching on one of our platforms, you can scan the QR code or just go to aclj.org. All donations made during this month are doubled right now, and this, again, is the final 10 days of our 35 years of justice drive. Then we have exciting news coming in August. Another new campaign you're going to be a part of as well. But all your gifts today are doubled. There's another ACLJ champion, another ACLJ supporter, ready to unlock their pledge as soon as you make a donation. So do it today. Do it right now. Again, think about it. Pray about it. ACLJ.org. We will talk to you tomorrow.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.